I'm Bill Preston. My work is published under William Preston. Most of my work has appeared in Asimov's science fiction. I consider myself a writer of whatever it is that comes to me, and a lot of the times that's speculative fiction.
This is a continuing episode of a series with William Preston about Tales of the Old Man. The series started at episode 307. If you got behind, go to the archives to catch up.
Yeah, so how do you view your role as a reader of fiction and a purchaser of fiction?
I have bookshelves in my house that are divided into things like short fiction, novels, nonfiction, science, nonfiction, anthologies, but one distinction I've also made is that I've got novels I've read and novels I haven't read. And then I also have like a stack of library books. You're constantly getting things. I mean, I am constantly getting things out of the library. I'm purchasing fewer books these days because I'm acutely aware of the giant backlog I've got and also my limited financial resources. So at the moment, I've put a hold, for the most part, on new purchases. But so I've tried to rotate among something I got out of the library, which might be new, might be old, something on my haven't read shelf, and then maybe even looking again at something on my I read it, but it's been a long time shelf. So I'm very consciously moving through those things. I want to know what current writers are doing, especially if it can inform the way I'm thinking about my own work.
Right.
I want to make sure I'm doing something that's very much mine. If I see something where somebody, I will sometimes get a book out or buy a book where I see like, oh, they're doing something that feels adjacent to something I'm doing. How did they approach it? I'm curious about that. I'm working on a novel that's an alt history. It takes place not in our world, but it is. It is Earth. It's just that there are some things that have happened very differently. I don't want to say too much about that, but I had someone read a draft of it, and I don't usually do this at that stage, and he was confused by the alt history aspect of it. And I thought, like, you know, and so part of it is, like, he doesn't read that stuff, but it also made me think, let me get some more books that I've already read or that I haven't read yet and see how do writers immerse a reader in a world that is not the world they're familiar with, and how do you break it to them? Is it abrupt? And you see some writers who do it with like a whole prologue or introduction. I don't want to do that. I want to expect that my reader can kind of keep up, because I feel like those are stories that for me are really interesting. So I'm always thinking about, there's me as a reader. There's me thinking about, well, how do other readers think of this as an audience? How are they going to understand this? So there's this kind of constant circle going on of thinking about myself as a reader, as a writer, and of other people as writers trying to deal with the same questions, and as readers coming to our work and wondering how to take it.
Do you read for pleasure anymore? Meaning you don't have an incentive based on your current project to read a book. You just pick it up and read it.
I used to teach a film class, so this may sound like a digression. It's not. I used to teach a film class, and one of the things I found myself saying to students is you need to be able to watch a film the second time, the first time. So, because kids would say to me, doesn't this stop the film for you when you're doing this, when you're thinking about like, oh, look at that shot, or how does this connect to something else? And a lot of times you have to go back and watch the film again anyway in order to really capture what happened. But I said, no, I've just developed a kind of double sensibility about it. just the way someone who's, you know, playing a sport maybe is both watching the game, participating in the game. Both things can be true. You just have to, it's a muscle you have to exercise. And so the same thing is true with reading. When I'm reading, I'm constantly aware of why is this working? Why is this not working? I'm perfectly happy to set a book down. I can set a book down after one page. I might get farther in and go like, well, the cost-benefit analysis on this is not working for me. I'm learning all the time. And I want to read writers I can learn something from. I want to read books that I can learn something from. That may sometimes be very literary in terms of just stylistic things. Like, how did they do this? How is this voice working? How did you make this shift? And I may not emulate it, but at least it gets me thinking and seeing how someone else is thinking. But other times, I've read a lot of, say, mystery fiction or fiction with recurring characters, partly to see, like, how do you do that? How did you do that? How did you set that up? What is it that sticks about that character? How do you construct a mystery? And then how do things that seem like mysteries, like the Ian Rankin, Inspector Rebus books, strike me as like this. Like, there's always a mystery, but it's not the mystery you think is the mystery. It's not Agatha Christie-ish. Like, he's in it often, like, what it is, you figure out early on, but that's not the nature of the real mystery. And I like that because so it makes me think about just even though you're writing within a genre and you're kind of checking off certain boxes, like you've got to have a third act where certain action occurs. You know, I'm aware of that, but I don't want to lose what often happens in third acts of genre writing is that it devolves into action. And what was strong about the writing and characterization gets kind of shunted aside as the writer gets caught up in the narrative. And I don't want to do that. And so I hope that I always, when the action strikes, that you've also got space and time to do character work and to have writing that's thoughtful. So I'm always reading in a way that's, when you say like, I'm reading for pleasure, it's always more complicated than that.
Yeah.
I won't enjoy something that's not well written. So that wouldn't be pleasurable for me. I'm Bill Preston. My work is published under William Preston. Most of my work has appeared in Asimov's science fiction. I consider myself a writer of whatever it is that comes to me. And a lot of the times that's speculative fiction. In part because the American tradition, to my mind, it goes back to Poe and Hawthorne, and wonderfully crazy writers like Emily Dickinson, embraces a wildness and creativity that's not limited by realism, but that captures sort of psychological truth, theological truth, fantastical truth. And so whatever stories occur to me, those are what I try to write. Someone stopped at my front yard the other day to take a picture of a lawn sign that I had out. We were talking about politics, but then we ended up talking about books. And I said I had just read Willa Cather's O Pioneers. Willa Cather, we often had to read her in high school, and it was the wrong time to read her. I didn't get it. Kind of like Jane Austen, I didn't get it for a very long time. And now I see, like, that's brilliant. That's amazing writing. And I really responded to O Pioneers. And in a way that I would not have, again, as a younger person, in its reflection on time and our connection to land and landscape and our connection to one another. And I think what people need to do. So I was talking to this person about having read this book, and she lives a few doors down from my library. And she said, people need to read more fiction. People just need to read more, because it does, if you're open to it, expand your empathy and also always give you something to connect with on a personal level. That there's always something happening in a work of fiction that will speak to you merely because another thoughtful, engaged person is trying to tell a story about their time and their place and their headspace. And that is so important for us as learning, growing, breathing individuals to connect through literature.
Now that's a call to action. Cool. Well, hey, man, thanks. It was good chatting with you. And
great to talk to you.
Yeah. Thank you for like catching up with me on Twitter, saying, you know, not being satisfied. So we could add more things here.
Well, I'm glad that appealed to you, the doing something else and seeing, yeah, I want you to have a show that works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool, man. Have a good day. It was great
you
catching
too.
Up with you again. And I'm sure when you get more something you want to come onto the show to talk about, let me know.
Thanks very much. Let's stay in touch.
You bet. We've got goodies in the show notes. Check them out and you will find links where you can find Tales of the Old Man, stories from William Preston, among other things such as his Blue Sky profile. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. But if you downloaded this from a website, then you can just go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see the show notes there. The series started at episode 307. If you're like my friend Dale Stewart and you missed the first episode, go back to scifithoughts.space and type into the search box 307 and you will find the start of the series there. This is the last episode of the series, but if you want to find the series page with all the episodes collected together for easy access, type into your favorite search engine, Sci-Fi Thoughts, Preston, Old Man, and your search engine will find the series page for your convenience.